Okay, this week is a very special week. It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. How often do we have an opportunity to celebrate Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos? And it's also Parashas Noach. So let's first discuss that idea very briefly. What is the significance of that it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and it's Parashas Noach?
And it's not raining.
So I think it's the significance you can see in the very first pasuk of the Haftarah. What is the pasuk of the first pasuk in the Haftarah? If I can find it over here on this finish, where they have it. Ko yomar Hashem, Hashemayim kisi, v'yoretz hadoim rag loy, eze vayis asher tivnu li, v'eze mokoin menuchasi. What are we doing in this week's parasha? We're building a bias. Okay, there are different words for this bias, a teva. It's not called the bias, it's called the teva, but we really actually, this was a structure, a very holy structure, a structure where only people, select creatures were permitted to enter, only those that were free from aveiros. Okay, it was a structure, you know, it appears that from Chazal, before the Mabel, there were many creatures that became extinct. At the time of the Mabel, Hashem only allowed into the Teva the creatures that were not, that were mizdavik with their own min. Any creature that crossbred with something that's not its min was not allowed to enter the Teva, which for all we know can mean that there were millions of different species of creatures that disappeared off the face of this earth. What a tragedy, because who knows, maybe some of these creatures had things which can be used today for very valuable purposes, for refuah, for construction. Who knows what these creatures could have done for this world? Maybe they could have even been serviced. They could have, you know, they could have carried us kanfei neshorim. They could have. Who knows? We have no clue. Dinosaurs, was the dinosaurs part of those creatures that were not mizdadig biminon and were not allowed into the teva and perished? And we can still find the remains. We don't know these things. Who knows? Maybe that's where the dinosaurs come from. We really don't know all these things. What? So there are a lot of different questions, but one thing is for certain, that the Teva is a Mokoyim Kodosh. It's a holy place. It's a place that miracles, the Alpiderech HaTeva, all the Farshim say it's impossible for even such a structure to stand. Okay, the construction does not seem to work out according to today's standards. Take an engineer and analyze the structure of the Teva, they'll tell you that it's not sustainable. And the fact that all of the creatures of the entire world fit in such a relatively speaking small structure, it's l'mal l'mirech hateva, and v'chulu, it was something which was l'mal l'mirech hateva, it was a holy place, the Shechina was resting in this location, and who was the leader? Noach. Noach, the name Noach means, comes from the word menucha, zeyinachaneni, mi maasei yodeinu, So therefore, Noach, the whole name Noach represents the idea of minucha, rest. And it's unbelievable, the first pasuk, Eze vayis asher tivnu li, what kind of bayis are you going to build for me? What kind of holy abode? The Eze mokoy minucha si, what is the mokoy? The whole table is called al Noach. It's his bayis, it's his mokoy, and Noach represents the concept of minucha. We see right away an allusion to the idea of Parshas Noach in the beginning of the Haftarah. I don't what exactly this is. I don't know. There's obviously there's much more to this, but it's not a coincidence. It's not something to be taken lightly that we read this Haftarah on this in Parshas Noach Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. There's another thing I want to mention about Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Parshas Noach. What happened when Noach came out of the Teva? What was the first thing that he did? He built a mizbeach. Vayivei Noach mizbeach. And Vayal, and he brought on the Mizbeach Korbanos. In fact, Chazal said that's why originally Soif Maisa B'machshav Tchila, that's why originally who came into the Teva? Seven of the non-kosher was only two, and of the kosher was seven. There's a long discussion exactly what that means, and how many, there are many opinions, how many creatures were brought into the Teva, of kosher, non-kosher, once was it seven, was it seven of Zoch and Akeva, seven Zugin. There are many different opinions, but in any event, it was a lot more kosher than non-kosher, all for the purpose of offering korbanos when Noach leaves the Teva. And indeed, Noach built a mizbeach. Vayiv, the end of the parasha says, he built a mizbeach. Vayal, upon that mizbeach, he brought up, what does the pasuk say? Remember the pasuk? Mayevsky, our... Vayal olos ba mizbeach. And then the vayorach Hashem esreach, and he koyach Hashem he inhaled the reach anichoyach, and he gave a bracha loyosif oil lekalel es adam lekalel es adam. I will no longer curse man, and this was the result of the korbanos that Noach offered after the mabul on the new mizbeach, which he planned from the very beginning by bringing into the teva an enormous amount of kosher animals just for this purpose. What do we say? What on Rosh Chodesh? What is the most prominent thing that we are mispalel for on Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodeshim liamcha nasata zman kapara luchol tol dosan biyosam makrivim levnecha zivchei rotzon zivchatos mizbeach chodosh bitzion tochin. The first thing after we acknowledge what Rosh Chodesh is all about, the purpose of Rosh Chodesh is a zman kapara. It's a time of atonement. Rosh Chodesh is a mini Rosh Hashanah. It's really a mini Yom Kippur. Will it be more accurate? It's really a mini Yom Kippur. That's why we have Yom Kippur cotton before Rosh Chodesh, because we do what we do. We do in advance what we're really supposed to in Rosh Chodesh. It's a zman of kapara, and kapara requires the offering of korbanos to atone, and we immediately are mevakesh mizbeach chodosh b'tzion tochin. We mevakesh to build, that we should have the opportunity to build a new mizbeach in Tzion and offer korbanos. Let's keep that thought in mind for one moment. The Sfas Emes explains that in the Teva, it was a whole year of Shabbos. Time did not operate in the Teva the way time operates outside the Teva. Outside the Teva, we have 6 days, and then there's Shabbos. In the Teva, it's one long Shabbos. The whole essence of Noach represents rest. Menucha. Noach means rest. Shabbos is the day of Menucha. The Teva was a tekufa, a year. Living in the Teva, you were a year of Shabbos. You have Shemitah, you have Yovel, you have Shabbos Kodesh. The tekufa of living in the Teva, no one was working. No one was doing constructive labor. Meleches machsheves. Noach didn't sleep. Okay, Noach had to feed the animals, but feeding animals is not a melacha. That's not a melacha deraisa. It does not seem anywhere that he had to do that. Cook, maybe, I don't know, but it doesn't seem that it's not what we use, we define labor. The lamed tes melachas are creative labor to develop the world. That's not what took place in the Teva. It was just confinement. It was just survival. It was just a matter of eating. It was a year of reflection. It's a year of Shabbos. Noach is Shabbos. After a year of Shabbos, the first thing the Noach did is Mizbeach Chodosh B'tzion Tochin, to now achieve atonement for what has come before Shabbos, what has happened in the world before, what led to this destructive, this event, and to prepare for a new world, a world that's going to be free from Churban, a better world. That is what Parshas Noach is all about. It is the synthesis or the sequence of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. A tekufa of Shabbos to reflect upon what has happened. And after Shabbos was over, and through that Shabbos, Noach, he built a Mizbeach Chodosh to achieve kapara for what has happened. It's these two are going together. Before you enter into the Teva, he already prepared for the Mizbeach Chodosh by taking in all the animals. And then he went to Shabbos, a whole year of Shabbos. And then he built the Mizbeach Chodosh. Vayorach Hashem es reach anichoyach. And Hashem said, Le'oisif oi lekalel es ha'odam es bav lekalel es
as hodom bavur lekalel
ol es hodom bavur lekalel od bavur ha'odam ki yetzileiv ha'odam ra min urav. So the whole essence of Parshas Noach is captured in the theme of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So how appropriate is it that we read Parshas Noach this year on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Eze vayis asher yivnu li v'eze mokom minuchasi. It's not a coincidence. This Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the essence of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is captured this year in Shabbos Noach, and therefore it's a unique opportunity, a unique experience. Okay, that in mind, that is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Now let's go to a new idea. Here is an idea. Some of the ideas I'm going to say may be a little bit off the beaten track, a little wild, and you don't have to like it. And you can criticize it, but I wanted to share with you some thoughts. We begin the parasha, Eile Tolados Noach. Okay, very nice. Noach. Who doesn't know Noach? End of the parasha. Last words of the parasha, Vayomos Terach Bechoron. Right before we learn about Avraham Avinu, go ask any child in the street, who was the tate of Avraham? Avraham. Ask any child in Cheder, any adult, they'll all tell you without even blinking an eye, Terach, who doesn't know? It's the Haggadah. Terach Avi Avram. Everyone who goes to a Seder, you say the words, Terach Avi Avram. It's in our DNA to know who is the father of Avram. Was he a good guy or a bad guy? That's what we say. One thing is for sure, he's not a pasha, he's not a civil person. Terach is the father of Avram, the father of the grandfather of Lot, from whom Mashiach comes. He is the father of Nachar, who is the one who gave birth to, who was the ancestor of Rivka and Rachel and Leah. Terach is everything. From Terach comes the whole Klal Yisrael from beginning to end. From Terach comes Mashiach. From Terach comes Klal Yisrael. From Terach comes Klal Yisrael internally. Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So Terach had three sons. He had Avraham, Haran, and Nachar. Avraham is Avraham. Haran produced Lot, and Lot from Lot we take him back in later on. Amon the Moav from Rus HaMoavia, which we need to bring, you know, for the finale. We need to come back to Terach for the finale to bring Melech HaMashiach. And he was the father of Nachar, who is the one who gave birth. Next generation to Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, the Imos, and the Imos produce a Shiftei Ka. I mean, what more do you want to say? So Terach, did he do tshuva? Yeah, V'ata Tovoy El Avosecha Bisholoim Mikan Lomad, that Terach did tshuva b'soif Yamav. On the other hand, did he spend the vast majority of his life being an Oved Avoda Zara? Absolutely. He was the biggest supporter of Nimrod. Nimrod was a Rasha. Nimrod was a troublemaker. He was the worst of the worst. And who was the one that supported him? Who was the one that put him on a pedestal? It was Terach. Terach was a partner in crime. Today we're all looking in the Holocaust. Who says the Holocaust? Who was the one that assisted the Nazis? This government, that government, the Pope, this one, that one, anyone that you can label someone that was a partner, was a conspirator or some, is blacklisted. If you want to blacklist, Nimrod was a Russian. Gibbert Said, he came to deny, he came to do Muhammad. There's no shortage of horror stories that you can find about Nimrod. And who was his partner? The only way he was able to succeed, Chazal make it very clear, is Terach. Terach was the one that was his marketing expert. Okay, he was his campaign manager, his marketing expert, all those titles they have in the White House.
Yosha says he was a general in his army.
General, he occupied all the offices in the White House. He was the one, he was calling the shots. So he was no nice guy. He was no civil person. He was no civil person. Yet, even though on the side of evil, he's way up there, way up there, yet, can't deny, look what came from Terach. And you can't deny the Chazal say he did tshuva. Is he one of the avos? Absolutely not. Is he mentioned in the Haggadah? Certainly is. Does the pasuk tell us a lot about Terach? Certainly. Terach is not a civil person. It appears Chazal give Terach. They're very concerned about Terach. Terach is someone you take seriously. You take into consideration. We mention him. The first thing we mention in the Haggadah is Terach. Terach Avi Avram, we mention him right away. He's a person that we appreciate to some degree. I mean, it's hard to understand, but that's how it is. Okay, next question. Go ask the average child in the street, or go ask any non-Jew who claims they're a Noahite, part of that group. Ask them, who was Noah's father? The Hem and Haw, until... If they're lucky, they can figure it out. They'll remember it was Lamech. Okay, so the average person doesn't have any clue who who is no perish apostle. I mean, it's no big deal. Everywhere they'll give me your 10 seconds, I'll find a few. Right, give me that. But unless you chazer it and you learn in Chumash, you about Kriya, you know you're fluent in these things, it's not the first thing you say after Moda Ani, Lefonach. It's not the first thing you want to chazer over. Who was the father of Noach? Okay, it's no secret. It's a pasuk in the Torah. In fact, he's the one that said, Zeyinach Hameni, Mima'asei Yodenu. Mitzvah Yodenu, Min Adam Asher Hashem. Okay, he's a
Noach's
mother. What?
Noach's mother.
Mother, I don't know. I think the Gemara says.
It's
a Gemara? Is there a Gemara that says who it is? I don't think it's a Gemara. I don't think it's a Gemara. I don't say anywhere who his mother is.
No, we don't know. It's
there's a we know who Avram's mother is, but we don't know who Lamech's mother is. Okay, so Lamech. You know, Lamech, you know, the whole world today, Vagames Noyach, Biavo, Zacharta, Vatifkadeu, Bifkudas, Yeshua, Virachamim, the whole world today only exists in the Zechus of Noyach. Everyone today is a descendant of Noach. Noach, he built the Teva, he brought survival, he's the one man that gets credited. The whole world is in the Zechus. So don't you think maybe we should, you know, he had a father? You know, he came from somewhere. Don't you think that we should give a little appreciation, a little pay attention to his father? Who was the father of Noach Lamech? No. Zero. Nothing of nothing. You don't know from, you don't hear from. And in fact, that's the point I'm trying to make over here, is that's how the parasha begins. The parasha begins, Eile toldos Noach. It doesn't really fit over here. You go with the whole sequence of Sukkot in the previous parasha, we should really go a little bit further. We're mentioning all the Yichos. The Yichos, it wouldn't have been such a bad idea if the Pasuk, Parshas Noach, would begin with Vayomer Elokim LeNoach Ketz Kol Basar Bor Lefanai. Or you would start with Vatishachei. Maybe you don't want to sound on a bad note. You don't want to sound a bad note. Vatishachei Sa'aretz Lefnei Elokim Etmoz Haaretz Chamas. Or maybe you can put this in the previous parasha. To start with the words Eile Tolados Noach. That's something from the previous parasha. All the individuals who their children were. What's Eile? It's as if we're cutting off. The point I want to make here is we're starting off the parasha by cutting off Noach from Lamech. Lamech is irrelevant. The end of the parasha tells us, who do we come from? Avraham Avinu. But there's someone else that's relevant. Don't get carried away. He's not one of the others. But there's someone that's relevant to knowing where we come from, and that is Terach. Vayomos Terach b'choron. Terach is an important person to pay attention to. But we don't really, it's not relevant. Why? It's not relevant to us. We come from Avraham Avinu? No. We come from Avraham Avinu, but you should know about Terach also. Eile toldos Noach. Lamech is irrelevant. We're cutting him off from the world. Why? Why are we doing this? What is the reason? So I want to suggest the following very simple reason. And that is, Lamech was a very great person. When Lamech had a child, Vayichi Lamech in Parashas Bereishis, Shna Shtayim Ushmonim Shana, Uma Shana, Vayoyle Ben. Vayikra Eshemoy Noach. It appears he was a Navi, he was a prophet. To some degree, why am I calling him Noach Lemar Zeh? This child Yinachamenu, he will bring us comfort. Mima'aseinu, from our deeds. This refers to, we'll explain in one moment. Umi itzvoin yodenu, from the sadness of our hands. Min ho'adama asher eriro Hashem. Let me read the Rashi just to elaborate a little bit. It's not really important. All the ideas of Rashi. Rashi here says. Yaniach mimenu es itzvon yodenu. What does this mean? Actually, bo noyach lo hoyulhem klei macharesha. They did not yet invent the plow. Noyach was an inventor. He invented the plow. Until then, of Noyach, people would plant in the ground with their bare hands. V'hu heichin lohem. He invented the plow. V'hoi saaretz moitzia koitzim vidar dorim. The earth, until its point in time, would produce thorns and thistles. Why? Mikilalasa, from the curse shall Adam Risha. Hashem cursed the earth because the earth, Aruro ho Adama ba'avurech, because of the Beit Hametz Hadas, the earth was cursed. It decreased, the curse was less. Okay, so he goes on to explain that Noach was an inventor, and until the time of Noach, the earth was cursed on a higher level. Noach reduced the curse through his invention, through his efforts. He changed the world. And therefore, Lamech, he saw this right in the beginning. And he called him Noach. Unbelievable. So obviously, Lamech was a very holy person. He was able to see this in advance. He was able to understand the whole idea that Hashem cursed the earth and Noach is a Nechometer. He's not as posh of a mensch. But yet, we don't care about Lamech. Lamech is out of the picture. He has been cut off from this world. We don't want to know from him. Terach, let's analyze Terach. Chazal say Terach, what did he call his child? Avram. What does Avram mean? He was later changed to Avraham, but Avram means the father of Ram. Ram is short for Aram, the nation of Aram. There are many. Aram is a major section of the world in ancient civilization. In other words, what was he saying? It's an incredible thing. He was saying, I'll give you a mashal. I'll give you a mashal that a person, that there was. I know someone, they were living in Canada. And I don't remember the details, but somehow the child was born in New York City, even though they live in Canada, and they went to get the birth certificate, and the birth certificate said, this is before Obama, this is before the birthers whole thing happened, and they wanted to get the birth certificate, and the birth certificate said the child was born in Canada, because since the parents were Canadian citizens, so on and so on, so the father said, no, this is a foreign person, no. The child is born in New York, in America. You have to correct the birth certificate. It has to stay clearly. It goes like 40 years ago. Clearly, before has to say it was born in the United States. Right. So the person says, what's the difference? So the father, who was a Ben Torah, said, I want him to have the potential, the chance of being the president of the United States. He meant very seriously. Who knows? Maybe one day my son will be the president of the United States. And the law is, if you're not born in the United States, you cannot be the president of the United States. I don't want to deny my child this opportunity, and therefore you have to correct it. The clerk is looking at this guy, you crazy? You, Lakewa, you yeshiva shagai, you think that your son's going to be the president of the United States? You really serious? You never know. I don't want to deny this to my child. I don't want. And he meant it seriously. You never know. That's a Jewish father. He was Av Aram. Aram was the free world. Aram represents the whole world. When Avram was born, he said, my child is called Av Aram. He's going to be the president of the United States. That's what he named his child. This is my aspiration for you, my child, to be the Av, the leader, the father of this whole country that we live in, the civilized world of Aram. Let's go back to Noach. Lamech, a yingel was born to me. Gevaldig, make a kiddush, big kiddush, serve all the delicacies. Why are you calling him Noach? Tell us. He makes the speech. You know why? From this cursed land, this man is going to change the world. He's going to bring this world comfort because we're living in a cursed world. Is that how you talk? Let me give you an example. You go to a wedding, beautiful wedding, you go up to the kala, and you say to the kala, the Etzef, you're getting married, you can have children, Gewaldig. The Etzef, tell the Bonin. It should be with torture. The El Ishech Teshuka Seich. Every moment you're going to have to come on to your husband, Vihu Yimshol Bach. And he's going to rule over you. And then you go to the Chassan's Tish and you say to the Chassan's Tish, Gewaldig, you're getting married. Umoitze Anies Ho'isha. Mar Mimaves. What a wonderful day this is. This person normal? Is this person a normal person? So he'll say to me, I didn't say anything wrong. It's the Beferish Pasuk in the Torah. It says this is the Metzias. The Metzias of the world is. Be'etzev tel dibanim. V'yal ishech teshuk ha'seich v'hu yim shalbach. I'm telling you secrets. It's in the Bible. It's on Google. Google it. It's there. Okay, it's there. I'm not making this up. It's even in the New Testament. It's there. I'm not making this up.
We don't use that.
Okay, I'm just trying to bring out the point. I'm not making this up. Okay, we know it's true, but it's not the appropriate thing to say at this time. It's not the way you talk. It's not the appropriate thing to focus on the negative. You focus now, it's a simple, you're getting married, you're coming to bring into this world Kedusha, Tahara. This is not what you do. Lamech, my son is going to change the world, and he did. He's going to change the world. He's going to invent technology that's going to transform the world. What kind of world are we living in, by the way, Rabbi Isai? A cursed world. Asher Eira Hashem. This is not a derech. This is not a derech in life. This is all part of the problem. Ki mala ha'aretz chomas mitnehem. It's all part of the problem of hishchis kol basar darkoi al haretz. Gesundheit. Gesundheit. It's all nichlal in this picture. There's something wrong with this world. The world is not a good, there's a problem. There's a problem in society. All different types of problems. What the Gzar Din is, this, that. But the attitude to go name your child and tell the world, Asher Eira Hashem, it's a cursed world. That's not a mahalach. It may be true, but it's not something you go and you highlight and you focus on. Parashas Noach, we're coming now to create the second edition of this world. A whole new leaf on life, a whole new book, a whole new world. The first thing you have to know, we're coming to create this new world, is Eile Tolados Noach. Lemech is out. He's not part of this new world. This approach, this attitude to publicly say Asher Eira Hashem, it's true, but it's not something you focus on. Eile told us, we start with Noach, there is no Lemech in this new world. The end of the parasha, when it comes to our world, Avraham Avinu, Klal Yishol Yados, don't forget, he may be an Oved Avodah Zarah, he may be a partner with an evil, Nimrod, but don't forget, there's someone called the Terach. There is the father of Avraham Avinu. It's a problematic person, a complex person. But Terach is Terach. Terach, he had the right attitude. Av Aram. I want my child to achieve greatness. I want him to be great, whatever he does. I want him to be a great person. Whatever will be, will be. This is the Yiddish approach. This is the lesson of Parshas Noach from the beginning to the end. Eile Tolados Noach. Out. Lemech is out. The father of Noach is out. These are two major figures. The whole world comes from these two people. The whole world. It's us and them. It's Klal Yisrael and the Umos Yisraelim. We are Avraham. The Umos Yisraelim, Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. It's it. It's black and white. There's nothing in between. Black and white. So who's the father of Avraham? Who's the father of Noach? I don't know. Father of Noach? I don't know. Who's the father of Avram? You gotta know. It's Terach. It's the Haggadah. Terach. You gotta know. Because this fundamental difference, you have to know to appreciate, to focus on bracha, not to focus on negativity, not the attitude is everything. Now that idea in mind, I want to go let's go to this famous Chazal, and I want to give you a new spin on this famous Rashi. This is real thick drush, I'm telling you now. It's so thick you can slice it with a knife. And my experience has taught me, when you say a var like this, there are some people that like it, and some people that will walk out of it. They don't. This is a certain type of drush that some people they don't like. Okay, but let me just tell you anyway, because to me it's hard. Maybe I'll see your reaction. The dvar is, it says, everyone knows this famous Rashi. It's over here that Noach was a tzaddik. Tamim Hoya Bidoyroisav in his generation. Yesh Meirabai Seinu. There are some of our teachers. Darshim Oisoy L'Shevach. They interpret this in a positive way. He was a tzaddik in his dar. What would have been had Noach lived in America? 2017. What would have been? Kol Shekein Shilu Hoya Bidor Tzaddikim. he would have been in this star, would see this oilam over here, this choshva oilam. Could you imagine what Noach would have been? Kol Shechein doesn't say Avram in this Rashi. Rashi doesn't say Avram. Rashi says Sheilu Hoya Bedor Tzadikim, a door of Tzadikim Hoya Tzadik Yosef. He would have met you. Can you imagine what he would have been? The Yesh. There are those. Doesn't say Merabai Seinu. I remember we talked about that last year. It doesn't say the word Merabai Seinu. Yesh. There are those. Shadarshim Oisay Lignai, in a derogatory form. Lefi Doyroi Hoya Tzadik. He was a tzadik in his generation when he was surrounded by wicked people. Ilu Hoya B'Dora Shel. Here he mentions he was in the generation Shel Avraham. Here he first mentions Avraham. Avraham, that itself is very interesting. Why dafka now? Whatever. Lo hoya nechshav leklum, garnished, zero zilch, zippo, nothing. How did he live in the generation of Avraham Avinu? Okay, so here is my vart. When Rashi tells us the two sides, Rashi says there's a yesh and there's a v'yesh. There's a group called yesh. They're darshim l'shevach. And there's a group called V'yesh, with a Vav, V'yesh, that's Darshim L'Ginai. Remember, there's a Drush. There's a group called V'yesh, that's Darshim L'Ginai. Where do we find these two words, Yesh and V'yesh? So the word Yesh is associated in Chazal with Tzadikim. L'hanchil l'oyhavai Yesh. Say this at the end of Mishnah, it's the last Mishnah in Shai Alam, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bequeath his Tzadik in 310 worlds. Lahanchil le'oyhavai yesh. And you say this when you're Messiah in Torah, when you're Messiah in Shas. It's the last Mishnah. It was Uksin, the last Mishnah. It says, Lahanchil, when you're Messiah, kol ha'Torah kula, you're a Talmud Chacham she'ein kamohu. You go and call ha'Torah kula. You come to the very, very end. What do you say? Ah, you've now reached this exclusive club of being from the yesh. The Yesh people. Lahanchil to bequeath l'oyhavai, my beloved, the Talmidei Chachamim, Yesh, something of essence, something real, some darshan, Yesh is Yirash Shamayim, other interpretations, whatever, but it means Shai Olam is fine. Where do we find the first time in Tanakh, in Chumash, the Yesh? Anyone want to guess? Well, you find the Vav Yud Shin, the category of the Yesh. You find it in Parshas, I can't even remember now, I'm going to have to do some memory, it'll take me too long to find it. Paro says to Yosef, when he comes together, he reveals himself to his brothers. So Yosef says, Parshas Vayigash, Paro says, Vayagi l'paro vayoma, Aviv Yachai Vitzaynam Vikodam Vikolash Shalachem Bo Meiritz Kanan Vina Meiritz Koshen Umiktsay Echov Loka Chamish Anoshim Vayatzil Lefnei Paro Vayo Paro Lechov Mama Seichem Vayoimru El Paro Roit Soyna Vodech Gam Anach Gamo Seinu with Shepherds. Okay, fine. We'll go further. Then Paro calls in Yosef and he says, listen, Vayo Paro Yosef Lemar, I see you brought your whole family here. Okay. You brought me five of your brothers. Rashi is the Pharisee, he brought them the Koil Yungalites. The Koil Yungaman. They came there, you know, beards, black hats, kapatas, maybe a strangle, maybe one of them were a strangle, maybe a spodik. They came in there, you know, they came in. Paro looks at them, he was hoping to bring in some talent into the land, right? Some shrewd businessmen to conquer the markets. We can go. Military personnel, people who have, you know, we appoint you to lead our some new technologies, launch some missiles to the other end of the world, who knows, to build a space station, to launch a business. I'm looking for some good men who know how to make parnasa. He brings them five people. Paro gives a look. No, not these guys. These guys, I see, they're not into business. They're sitting and learning in Koilel. They're not going to be, then their heart is not in Parnassah. Their heart is in learning. Okay, he did it by design. Paro also knew maybe there are more brothers. He only brought me five brothers. So Paro says, Avichav Yachecha Boilai. Nu, where are you going to live? Eretz Mitzrayim Lefonechi B'meitav Oretz Hoysheves Avichav Yachecha Yeshu B'Eretz Goyshen Goyshen B'Gematria Lakewood. It's yours. It's yours. Monroe, wherever you want. Siwas, not Barpa. Go there out into wherever you want to go and sit and learn. Don't worry, okay? It's all yours. But Rai goes on, the im yodata, but if you know, you didn't show me all of your brothers, but if you do know, you're hiding something from me, the yesh. Vav yod shin. The yesh. If there are, this is the first time this word appears in Chumash. You can check it out on the computer. The yesh. Bam. Amongst your family, there are anshei chayil. What does that mean, anshei chayil? Subject to interpretation. It means shrewd businessmen in this context. Wealth, chayil means wealth, strength. Make money. You don't make money by sitting around doing nothing. You make money with a lot of cunning and shrewdness and hard work. Then, bring them to me. They must be like you. If I see what you're capable of, it must be, it runs in the family. It must be even father, some of the genes. Something has to go right somewhere or go wrong somewhere. V'samtom, bring them. Sorei mikneh al asherli. I know that's your specialty in your family and where you come from. Bring them to me. I want to corner the market. I want to conquer the world. It's a lucrative business. Bring them to me. The first time you have the word v'yesh, is where, I'm telling you, Drush, is where Paro is hoping in his mind that there's not everyone in your family is holding and learning. Not everyone is going to Lakewood, to Goshen. I don't mean anything negative. We got a point over here. Maybe the yesh, there are people that are not holding and learning. They're looking to go to be shrewd businessmen. Then I want those people, I want. So here is the litmus test of Yesh Darshim Lignai L'Shevach V'Yesh Darshim Lignai. Unfortunately, there's no person in the world that you cannot write a book positive things, and you can also write a different book portraying him as the biggest lowlife, the biggest mushkas in the world. Even about Trump you can find something negative. possibly, maybe. Maybe, yeah. Even him, maybe. Otherwise, it's all good. Moshe Rabbeinu, what more do you want, Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm sorry. I mean, you're not smiling. I'm sorry. Moshe Rabbeinu. I became a very big Trump fan. You should know. Take the chum and the fame that my stocks in him went up a lot since he became president. Okay, but. Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hibitu acharei Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, everything. Yesh darshim l'shevach v'yesh darshim l'gnai. That's human nature. The best of the best of the best. You're looking to find chesroinos? You'll find chesroinos. You can magnify the chesroinos. You can make a bilbo about the chesroinos. You'll create a life of yourself. That's the mitzvah. You can always find something to criticize and to magnify and to use as a springboard to make trouble, to make trouble. This is the Metzius. It's all a matter of attitude. It's all. There are people that are very positive. They can see something that's not pleasant and they can find something good, we'll work with it, we'll find a solution. And then there are people that are very, very negative. So Rashi over here says, now, the litmus test is a bentor. What is the role of a person who's holding and learning? Unfortunately, there's a problem. A lot of B'nai Torah, they're very critical. There's a certain negativity that unfortunately, you find, this is no good, that's good. You may find this very, very frightening. Okay. I told you this joke a few times. Very quickly, a person comes to Shemayim and Hashem says, what do you do with your life? I sat in Kol my whole life. I was supported my whole life. Oh, very good. So you must know Kol Torah Kula. So the fellow says, no, I don't. Okay, so you know at least a few mesachtes? No. You know at least one mesachta? No. So you know a few daf gemara? No. So at least tell me a shtickel Torah. Your whole life of sitting alone, tell me a shtickel Torah. No, I can't. So the person says, no, I'll tell you what you're bringing shleilim. You say a shtickel Torah, and I'll slug it up. It's a very sad story. Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that story. Is that you live a life of everything is negative, to find the chesroinos, you know you're in a lot of trouble. Real Talmidei Chachamim, you know the real Talmidei Chachamim, whose Torah has made an impact on their life, internalize what they learn, are very different people. They're very positive people. They have a very different outlook. And you show them something that's very unpleasant, right away, all right, there's a problem, we'll work with the problem, we're not in denial, that no one's a fool to deny the issue is the problem. But you know, there's a positive way to look at something. If you're from the category of the true Talmidei Chacham who have taken Torah, have internalized what Torah is all about, you're from the camp of Yesh, Lahanchil, Le'oy Hava Yesh, people who learn Torah, they're Messiah in Torah, they know Torah, then your attitude will be, they'll look at a pasuk, Darshan Oysoy L'Shevach. And if Rachmana Litzlan, you're not holding in learning, it doesn't mean anything to me. No, maybe I know you have brothers that are in Goshen. Maybe you have some brothers who don't want to learn. They're just not interested in Torah. They're not holding in learning. Ah, you have V'yesh. Rachmana Litzlan, a person is not holding, doesn't have to learn Kol the whole day, but it means nothing to you. Torah is not something which has any value. You're in the category of V'yesh, as the way Paro used the term. Unfortunately, if you don't have the tool of Torah to soften you up, to put you in the right perspective, then you have a tendency to be from those that look at everything critically. The Yivyesh Darshan Oysoy Lignai. Tzadik, yeah, what kind of tzadik is this? Tzadik B'day Reisav Yehoyilu Hoyib Da'achay will be a garnish. That's the lesson is, you can be on both sides. Where do you want to be in life? Choose wisely. The place better be from the group of people who are Darshan L'Shevach. You can always say Lignai. Be from the group. How do you do it? It's not easy. People by nature are very critical. This is a mitzvah in life. You're very cynical. You get burnt. You're very cynical. If you don't, you're not holding and learning. You're not continuously developing your neshama by connecting yourself to the Torah HaKadosha, then it's a losing battle. Then you're going to find yourself in the camp of the V'yesh, the Anshei Chayil, looking for the grass is greener on the other side. If you're holding in the group of the Yesh, Lahanchil Ohava Yesh, you're in good company. You're part of that sug of people that has a positive, pleasant outlook on life, Darshan Oysoy L'Shevach. Okay, let's go to another part. Okay, the next part is, we're running out of time, I want to do some more things, but let's see what we can do over here. Noach's name keeps on changing in this parasha. Parsha begins by telling us Noach Ish is a person. I didn't even pay attention. He's a tzaddik, tamim, b'day reisav. So we're just going to learn now. Really, there are four words. There's an Ish, Noach Ish. What does it say? It says the word Ish. I'll make sure I'm not making a mistake. Ish, tzaddik, tamim. Okay, let's put aside. Really, we can dash the word Ish, but we're not for now. Let's focus on the word Noach and the word tamim and the word tzaddik, tamim. The truth is, these two words, tzaddik, of Moshe Feinstein points this out, they are contradictory. It's an oxymoron to say tzaddik tamim. Why? What is a tamim? A tamim means there's no complaint. He's pure. He's pure from the core. There's nothing to argue about. In other words, a tzaddik, what is a tzaddik? A tzaddik means there's a dispute. There's my side of the story, and there's your side of this. Every story has another side. My approach, your approach. Who's right? We have to go to the experts. We have to go to the mumchim, and they're going to tell us who's right. Every time you have a dispute in court, you go to court. I have a claim, you have a claim. Maybe they're both very valid claims. Who's right? You go to the shofet, you go to the judge, and he says, he's right, and you're wrong. That's why you have a shofet. Okay, it seems so foreign to us, this concept, in this generation. But that's what it's all about. Someone's right, someone's wrong. Not all the time is everyone right. You're a tzaddik. The word tzaddik carries with it a connotation that there is a bar pilukta. There's someone who is on the other side, who disagrees, and there's a dispute. And the result has been that you have been proven right. So a tamim means there's no one's fighting with you. Everyone is happy. There's no dispute. You don't need to go to a judge. Everyone agrees. He's a pure, wholesome person. No one's coming to argue the point. So what is Noach? Is Noach a tzaddik or is Noach a tannin? They're not the same. How do we understand these two terms? Fine, but that's what he's called in the beginning of the parasha. As the parasha goes on, it says, Hashem says to Noach, go into the table, ki oischo ro'isi tzaddik lefonai bador hazeh. Go into the teva, you're no longer a tamim. The word tamim disappears. The Mabel begins, he's in the teva, vayishoer ach noyach. Chazal say, no more tzaddik, no more tamim, no more ish. All we got left is noyach, just the name alone. That's all that's left. The tam disappeared, the tzaddik disappeared. We go down madregas, it started out so good. Ish, tzaddik, tamim, noyach. Then it goes to a noyach, the tzaddik, and then just noyach. What's going on over here? So I want to suggest a different mamari chazal. Look at Rashi, different ideas. But I want to suggest the following drush. In the previous parasha, parashas Bereishis, we mentioned, we started Lamech. Lamech said about noyach, ah, this child of mine, ze yinachamenu mima'asenu umi yitzloin yodenu min ho'adam asher eira Hashem. Is anyone today complaining about Benjamin Franklin, about Thomas Edison, about all the great inventors who created? Is anyone having anything bad to say about them? Not one word. They don't take away the staff to guard a statue. No one should knock it down. They brought to this world blessing. They've invented, they've brought into this world blessing. Incredible things. Incredible bracha. What's bad to say? If you want to say something big, you're out of your mind. Look at how they've changed the world. They've changed the world. You don't live a second in this world without something. They have not an invention that has not enhanced the quality of our lives. What's there bear to say? When Noach was born, this person is going to invent the plow. He's going to take away the difficulty in agriculture. He's going to enhance our lives. He's a tamim. So I'm trying to suggest the term tamim represents the world had very great appreciation for Noach. No one had a bad word to say about Noach with regard to the material blessing he brought to this world through his creativity and through his efforts. On the other hand, Noach was a religious person. He was an ethical person. And he did not agree with all of the corruption that was taking place in this world. With Chomos, the misconduct in the marketplace, and with Arayos. So he was arguing. He built a table for 120 years. They kept on telling him, you're a fool. The world's not going to be destroyed. Come, enjoy. Enjoy Gezel, you're a smart man. If you don't know, someone knows how to beat the system, who better than you? Come, enjoy the world like all of us. Noach said, you can't do this, it's usur. So there was a dispute. There was a dispute in the moral element of this world. Noach was on one side, and everyone was on the other side. Who was right? Noach was right. Noach was a tzaddik. So Noach had a dual personality, not two roles. On the one hand, he was a person who enhanced the quality of life in this world. And in that respect, tamim. No one had a bad word to say about him. You're a great person. Look what the good things you've done for society. Look at all the inventions. Look at all of the different things you put into place for this world. He's a wonderful person. But Mitzat Sheni, when he gave them Musar about their religious life, about their moral standing in this world, they did not agree with him. They did not. They took him to court, to Hashem's court. And who was correct? Noach was the tzaddik. Two different roles, dimensions to Noach. There's a Noach of Parshas Bereishis. Noach Parshas Bereishis is not the religious Noach. That's the Noach he put on a different hat. He went out into the world. He worked. He had a different role. The secular Noach. And Parshas Noach, we learn about the religious element of Noach. Tzaddik, Tamim, he had both elements. When Hashem came to destroy the world, Hashem said, Noach, at this time, it doesn't make a difference your contributions to society. It doesn't make a difference you invented the computer. It doesn't matter if you invented the internet. Maybe you preceded Al Gore. It doesn't matter who invented all of your inventions, what you have brought into this world. It's irrelevant. the world is going to be destroyed because of the moral corruption. That is, therefore, Noach going to the Teva, ki oischori isi tzadik lifonai bador hazeh. Oh, you're a tamin? It's irrelevant. All of the good, the parnasa, the money, the wealth that you bring into this world, when the day is over, you're not taking it with you. The only thing you're taking with you is your accomplishments in the world of spirituality, your honesty, your integrity. That's what counts. And therefore, when I'm telling you to go into the table to save you, couldn't care less. Anyway, going down the drain, all of your inventions, all of the things that you've enhanced this world. What counts now is tzaddik. And then what happens? Vayishoer ach Noach. This is very tragic. Because now, Noach, it doesn't matter that you're a tzaddik. Because there's no one to fight with. A tzaddik is only when I'm right and you're wrong. But there's still someone who's wrong. That's important. Because the person who's wrong can now, he's still here. He can now learn from the experience and he can change himself. Noach, Chazal criticized, was a failure. He did not save his generation. It would have been much better for the people to turn around, even if they would not become like him. But as long as there's someone to fight with, they have not given up. You can have a conversation, you can engage them. They have not completely abandoned you and gone the other way. I'm a tzaddik, you're a Rasha. But the Rasha comes to the Seder table. The Rasha is there. Much better than the fifth child who doesn't show up altogether. It's a very high madrega that the Rasha is sitting at the Seder table. Many parents, Rachmana Litzlan, they would be thrilled if their son, the Rasha, Rachmana Litzlan, would come to the Seder table. The greatest tsar is, he wouldn't even consider coming to the Seder table just to behave himself for a few minutes to be part of the family experience. If you come to the Seder table, there's a conversation, there's a discussion. Who's right? I'm the tzaddik, you're the Rasha. That's an accomplishment. Noach unfortunately failed. The Rasha fell so far away, disappeared. Vayishoer ach Noach. Not only was his accomplishments in the physical world completely irrelevant, the tum fell away, even the fact that he was a tzaddik was now also irrelevant. Because there's no one to be a tzaddik in contrast to. That is a degree of failure. Okay, another quick vart. We live in a world, just to illustrate the point, we live in the world of the newest technology where all the biggest money is being invested across the board is in what? In driverless vehicles. Not just cars, driverless vehicles. Cars probably will never succeed, you should be aware. The cars, people are never going to give up hope on wanting to drive a car. But what will take over will be tractor trailers. Those are going to for sure be replaced by driverless tractor trailers and by delivery drones. Cars, it's a very big debate that people are really going to really relinquish the right to drive their car. But why is all the people investing trillions of dollars in this technology? Because it's certain, without fail, that when it comes to other means of transportation where you don't need people, cargo, planes flying by themselves to deliver cargo, and which is really the bulk of transportation, certainly is going to be replaced by driverless technology, so therefore it's worth every penny to invest in their stocks. That is a given. I'm giving good financial advice here. Okay. I highly, highly doubt people will ever give up the steering wheel. They show these new cars where there's no steering wheel. Never. People are not going to want to give up the steering wheel. They want to drive. That's how it is. Okay. Any event, the Ribbono Shel Olam was way, way ahead of his time. Who was the first one to create a driverless vehicle? Hashem. Where? The Teva. Question. What kind of structure is Noach building? Let me give you an example. Went to the moon. How did they go to the moon? What was it called, the vehicle that went to the moon? The Apollo. Okay, a lot of Apollos. Some of them never made it. But those who made it, how did they come back? They just dropped them out of the sky. Where did they land? They landed in the ocean, somewhere, wherever they landed. They hoped they got it right, you know, with no guarantees. They could have landed on land. They would have been finished. Okay, the parachute would not have been strong enough to shelter from the impact. People couldn't get hurt on the ground. They targeted they should come to land in the ocean. Most of the world is water, so they got lucky and it worked out. What happened? They got smarter and they invested billions and trillions of dollars to build a space shuttle. And what was the model of the space shuttle? You just don't land anywhere by chance, when you come down into this world, you glide. It's a glider, and you can control it. You can go azoy and azoy, you can turn on the engines a little bit, you can go up and down, and you can guide your way to some degree to a landing, to a runway, to land in a safe location. That is desirable. It was so desirable to change the model of going from the Apollo to a glider, they invested trillions of tax dollar money in this project. If Noach is building a Teva for 120 years, it's going to be a Mabul. The Mabul supposedly will soon come to an end. And the Teva is going to have to land somewhere. And it's a very dangerous world. There are mountains and there are who knows what's out there. Don't you think it would have been wise to build into the Teva some type of navigation system? Oars, or some type of steering device, sails, something, epis, something. It's not going to be perfect, but something. Don't you think this was so people were asking Noach, you're building a Teva for 120 years, just a big box, and it's going to float, it's going to go on the water, if it'll even do that, and then what's going to happen, Noach? Where is it going to land? It might take you down, who knows, it'll take you down to Mexico, and you'll be on the other side of the wall, and you won't have what to eat, and you're not going to be allowed entrance into the free world. What are you going to do,
No world.
What? No world, what are you going to do? Wasn't this a very basic question? I'm building a driverless car. I work for Uber. I'm building a driverless vehicle. Who is the navigation on this driverless vehicle? Who puts in the coordinates? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Part of building the Teva was bidafka a Teva. There is no navigation. The message Noach was sending the people of the world is, you know something, you're living a life, you know, a foolish life. You think your destiny is in your hands. There's no question, you have to ishtavus, okay, that dvarm pshutim ad ma'oit, you do your ishtavus. But to a degree, koichi v'oitzem yodi osli esachayel hazeh, everyone was involved in theft, in gezel, in ish, esreeyu, chayim belohol. Noach, by building the teva, by building a driverless vehicle, and telling the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he will decide where this teva comes to land. Leave it to him. This was the most powerful message you can possibly give the people for 120 years. It's not just the world's going to be destroyed. It's not just not just about that. It's about what's going to be afterwards. How are you going to come into a new world? We're building a new world where we're going to be guided by the Yad Hashem. The whole essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, the only two Tevos, is the Teva and Moshe. What was Moshe? The whole Mahus of Moshe is Hashem guides you. In the Midbar, what did Moshe do? He took us in the Midbar for 40 years. Where do we go? The Amud He'anon, Amud Ho'esh, 42 Masois. Kasher Yisohu Ken Yachanu, whenever Hashem wanted, you get up, you pack up, you disassemble the Mishkan, and you go. You go. This is defined in the essence of Moshe's existence. They put him in a tevas goyme al svas hayar. They put Moshe Rabbeinu in a driverless vehicle. Where will he go? Leave it to Hashem. Because this is the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael, Lechtech acharai b'midbar, b'eretz lo zerua. Follow Hashem. He will guide you. He will take, again, not denying Hishtalos, don't get me wrong. Of course, it's Hishtalos, but to a degree. Moshe's essence is to be in that driverless vehicle. That's his mahus. Noach is a Moshe Rabbeinu, teaching the world the lesson, I'm building a driverless vehicle. Hashem will be the manik of this vehicle. Okay, wind down. Let's just conclude with one more vart. A lot more things I want to say, but we ran out of time. But one important thing I want to tell you is we have a halacha. Mi shepora midor hamabul hu asid lipora mi mi she'eino oimin bidiburai. Midor hamabul, midor flog. There's like an exception to Chazal. The person gives you word. If you promise, I'm going to a business transaction, and then you tell the person, I changed my mind. Are you bound to you owe any money? Zero. You don't own one penny, but you're subject to a curse. If you do not, if you're not true to your word, even though there's no, you make a kinyan, you're subject to a curse. Mi shepara midor hamabul midor haflaga, who osid, the one who punished midor hamabul midor haflaga, osid lipara will pay, will punish. Mi she'enai oimed bidiburai. Question: what does the dor hamabul midor haflaga have anything to do with mi she'enai oimed bidiburai? My inyan shmita etzal asinai. Hashem is an eman. Hashem made the world. A person doesn't want to be honest, so Hashem will punish. What's the dar ha-mabul, dar ha-flogus? I want to make the following suggestion. I know the power something called a keshes, a rainbow. What was the keshes? Forget about what the keshes is. The rainbow was the bris. Hashem made a bris. I give you my word. And this is the sign, I will never destroy the world. No more. It's not going to happen anymore. Hashem destroyed the world in the beginning of the parasha. Hashem destroyed the world. Hashem then said, I give you my word, I'm not going to do it again. What happened at the end of the parasha? Again, the whole world rose up to rebel against Hashem. There's a Rashi explaining the difference between what they did, but doesn't this is it's the same idea. There was a rebellion. Nachama, all over again. They build the Migdal Bavel, end of the parasha. So what did Hashem really want to do? Destroy the world. You want to rebel against me? Are you crazy? I'll destroy you all. I'll just wipe you all out in 1 second. And what did Hashem say? I gave you my word. I gave you my word. I'm not going to destroy the world. I'm Neman b'mamaroi. I'm not going to destroy the world. I'll just disperse you. I'll just child's play over you. I'll just, I'll nivla, I'll call sifasam. Everyone disperse. Mi shepara midar hamabul. Hashem destroyed the world. And what happened in between? And then Hashem gave his word, I'm not going to do this again. Upara midar haflaga, by not destroying the world. Hashem punished them in a different form, but did not do what he really would have liked to do, because Hashem gave his word. Hashem is true to his word. You don't want to keep your word, Hashem's going to come after you. It's bedafka, the contrast between the dor ha-mabul and the dor ha-flaga and the promise in between. That's the connection. Now, what is the significance of this? The Shekhinah. Yechezkel said he saw the Shekhinah. How is the Shekhinah described? Kemare ha-keshes asher be'onam. The koyen gadol is yoytzen ibeis kochei ha-kodashim. What do we say on Yom HaKippurim? We describe the Kohen Gadol who comes out like the Keshes. The beauty of the Kohen Gadol is like the Keshes. All the Mefarshim ask, the Keshes is not something very pleasant. It represents the Churban HaOlam. Why do we describe the Kohen Gadol who comes out of the Kodesh? Ah, he's beautiful, beautiful. He looks like the Keshes. What? The Keshes is something which is not a pleasant thing to say. The Mishnah Berurah says, you shouldn't even tell someone there's a rainbow outside. You're not allowed to. Ain't a Kedai. You know, you shouldn't tell. Keshes is something which is you don't want to talk, you don't want to go there. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he's described the beauty of the Keshes. What's going on? It's not the point. The point is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Neman. The essence of the Shekhinah is Hashem has integrity. The biggest thing we struggle with today in this world is integrity. We're not true people. We do this and change our mind, hypocrites. It's achas pev, achas belev. Behind closed doors, you behave one way. To be a true person, to be a neman, to be consistent, especially with the burai, this is what I say I'm going to do, and that's what I'm going to do. This is what I say I am, and this is who I am. To be a neman with the burai is the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The beauty of the Kohen Gadol was he was the greatest Jew in Klal Yisrael. He was the spiritual leader. He was a man of integrity, a man who's true to his words. That's what you focus on in Yom Kippur. When you come in connection with the Shekhinah, it's to make you a person of integrity. This is the focus of the Mari HaKeshes Asher Ban. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos with Chayish.